Which reminds me a lot of what we see with Thomas in John chapter 20, when Thomas was not present when some of the others had seen the risen Christ and was told about that. And let's look at what John had to say in John, or what Thomas had to say rather, in John chapter 20, starting in verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand at his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hand, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Certainly that's a pretty well-known account of Thomas, and where we get the nickname for Thomas, Doubting Thomas. Excuse me. So one of the interesting things there is that Jesus knew exactly what it was that Thomas had said and what Thomas needed to see, and showed that to him. And it's very similar to what we see here in John chapter 14, where previously we see that Jesus was given his final discourse to his apostles in the upper room. And it was also at this very time that Jesus was going to be betrayed by Judas, and Jesus would be arrested. And already in this series, we talked about Judas betraying the Christ. So Jesus here is teaching the apostles about the coming of the Holy Spirit, who is going to be their God. And as we have seen in our study in the book of Acts in the past few weeks, the Holy Spirit has been the God for the apostles, starting on the day of Pentecost and after that, showing what it is that they need to teach. And you see in John chapter 14 and verse 8, Philip makes the comment, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." Sometimes people think that they need something else, that they need to see something visual. And it might be that sometimes even some of us have thought, would our faith be easier if we had been alive in the first century and we could have seen Jesus with our own eyes? I know that we would like to do that. That would certainly be interesting, wouldn't it? If we were able to take a time machine back and see Jesus with our own eyes. Or if you were able to just see the miracles, or just sit and listen to Jesus teach the Beatitudes or some other discourse that he made. Would that be enough to solidify your faith? Perhaps you think that would make a difference in your life if you could have been alive or could go back and see and have heard those things. But really, what we see in the account of Thomas and with Philip is that Jesus said, you don't need that. That's something that you don't need. You're fooling yourself. It would not have made any difference. So when Philip says, "Show us the Father and that will be enough for us," what does that mean? Well, people want more, and we're dependent on things that we can see. And it's kind of natural that it's that way. You know, we depend on what's in front of us. We depend on this physical realm. You know, just last week, there were several occasions where different groups of campers went outside at night, and they asked permission to go stargazing. And you think, well, why would they do that? Well, they're in an area where there's no ambient light. And it's really incredible when you get out in the country and there's no other light around. It's the same stars that we can go around in this area and we can see, but we can't see them nearly as clearly as what we did out in the middle of Nauvoo, Alabama. And the the campers would sit around and look at that, and counselors that understood some astronomy and some things would explain some things. If they had the application like Rex has, that you can hold up and it will show you the constellations. It's so interesting, and really a faith building thing when you look at the majesty of creation. And it also goes to show that there's just so much that we don't understand, and the awe and majesty of it all. And so that's a visual thing. We are impressed by things that we can see. We are a little bit dependent on that, and maybe that's a problem that Philip has within himself. It's something that he wants to see. Show us the Father. You know, you've been talking a lot about the Father, but you know, we need that little bit of extra. And so Philip asked Jesus to show the Father to them. I'm not really sure what Philip was expecting to happen there, how that was going to be carried out. Maybe he's thinking about the time that God showed himself partially to Moses, or you know, just looking for some kind of greater manifestation of God's glory to be revealed before his eyes, to be impressed. You know, just show it to us. But Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." And so Jesus told Philip, there's nothing else that you need. I've been here with you all the time. You've seen the miracles and you've heard the teaching. Anything that Philip needs to know, Jesus has already revealed to him through what he has done in front of him. So why are you asking me that? Well, the application is that sometimes it seems that people never have enough proof. And we just think, if I just had that next piece of evidence, then we'd be satisfied. But really, we just fool ourselves. You know, I think about the example of Gideon when we were in the study through the Old Testament. And what he did is kind of an example of this issue that, if you recall, Gideon wanted to know that the Lord was with him before he went into battle. And God was asked to perform a sign so that he could be assured. And Gideon first wanted the dew to be on the fleece laid on the ground at night, and the ground all around to be dry. And the next morning there was dew on the fleece, but not on the ground. And then he asked for the opposite to happen. And I know that you know, Gideon needed some assurance, and God did not, you know, get on to him or condemn him for asking for that extra assurance. But it is interesting that first manifestation of God that was clearly miraculous was not accepted as enough. And so then he asked God to put the dew on the ground and not on the fleece. So the problem is that sometimes people just can't have enough proof. And we want to walk completely by sight. Walking by faith means that there's things that we walk by that we can't see, but that many people cannot accept that. Brendan, could you go get me a Kleenex and bring it to me, please? We walk completely by sight, and we think that's a reasonable request because it's all we've got, and we think. It's a natural thing. Thank you. Started getting a cold after camp, and I'm glad it happened after camp. I think this happens to me usually when I don't get enough sleep. Maybe Susan might know if that's a symptom of being tired. But we want to be able to see with our eyes. And we think that is a reasonable request, like Thomas made with Christ. I'm not going to believe until I can put my hand into his side. But Jesus, if you remember what he said, blessed are you because you have seen and have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen it and yet believed. And that's the situation that we are all in. There is evidence that has been put forth to us, and Larry Rouse talked about that some in his lesson on how do you teach somebody that doesn't know the Bible. There's proof here that we point to that's evidence that was shown to other people. Evidence that was shown to others historically that we were not present to see it ourselves, but we look at the record that others have left for us. And it takes some faith for that to yield an effect in our life. If we need to see everything with our own eyes before we will believe it, then you know, we're probably not going to be able to know or trust in anything unless it happens to us. I've told you before, my father used to tell me, Randy, you can't. You need to learn from the mistakes of others. You don't have time to make all the mistakes yourself, which I thought he made up, but it was actually Mark Twain that said it. And he was just quoting Mark Twain. And Mark Twain may have stolen it from somebody else too. But the point is we have examples of things. We have that in the scriptures. These things are written for our learning so that we don't make the same mistakes. The same thing goes with evidence. If we need to see everything that others have seen, we have to see it with our own eyes. Just like Thomas said, I've got to see it myself. You're really painting yourself into a corner. We cannot trust the news on the radio. Well, maybe you can't today. But when we hear things that have happened somewhere else, you know, let's say there's an earthquake in Japan. I'm not going to believe there's an earthquake in Japan unless I go over there and see it myself. That would be ridiculous. And when you think about making that application, you know, I'm not going to believe anything that I cannot see myself. Doesn't really leave a whole lot of room for much, does it? When you get that text on your phone or your GPS tells you that there's an accident ahead and that you can save 45 minutes by going another way, well, I don't believe that. I'm going to keep going on this road, and then you find out you should have believed it. You didn't see it with your own eyes, but it was reported to you. And that's what Jesus is telling Thomas. That's what Jesus is telling Philip here, that you've got to believe in some things that you can't see. But the evidence, really, Jesus says, is right before you the whole time. It's been right before you the whole time. The teachings, the miracles, everything that Jesus has been in front of them is showing them the Father. But if you have to see everything with your own eyes, you can't trust anything. You can't trust American history. You can't trust world history. There's just an innumerable list of things that you couldn't trust if you say, well, I've got to see everything with my own eyes. Jesus wants Philip to understand this. We have enough evidence to see God. Although we can't physically see God with our own eyes. If there is Jesus, then there's God. And this sometimes is called the gospel argument for God. That if Jesus lived, then we know there is a God. Really, nobody has ever denied the existence of Jesus with any degree of credibility. You know, there's too much historical evidence that there was a man named Jesus that lived. The question is, who was he? Was he really the Son of God? Was he a fraud, or was he what he said he was? So the argument is that if Jesus lived, then we know there is a God. Because nobody has ever really denied the existence of Jesus. There's all kinds of historical records outside the scriptures that attest to his life and attest to his claims. And the universe really attests that there is a God. And I know that people will make all kinds of arguments about, you know, how the universe began, and they never really seem to add up. When you look at the universe, it screams that there is a designer. because everything works just the way that it should work. It doesn't make sense that it is an accident. And I know that it takes a great deal of faith to believe that there was something that always was. It's something that is very hard for us to understand because we are so wrapped up in time. But it makes more sense to believe that there was a designer that put all of these things in place than to believe that it was all some kind of happy, magical accident, that things just happened to be in the right place. The planets are all in the right position. The sun is exactly the distance it ought to be from the earth so that we don't get too cold or too hot, and life is not possible. The historical records outside the scriptures that attest to the life of Christ, the evidence is just overwhelming in the existence of Christ and the existence of God. And so when Philip asked this seemingly simple question, show us the Father, Jesus said, you've already got it. You've already got it. It's already been revealed to you. Just look around and look at what has been with you all of this time during my ministry. God wants us to have a logical and rational faith. We just simply have to be able to process things that we simply cannot see with our physical eyes. So Philip really shows us the problem of living by sight alone. As we saw this morning, he couldn't see how Jesus was going to overcome the obstacle of feeding 5,000. And living by sight alone blinded him from seeing in the next occasion how Jesus was going to feed 4,000, even though he had seen Jesus feed the 5,000. It's interesting. So depending on human means that we really limit the capabilities of God in our eyes. Philip also shows us that the desire to see more and more visible proof is not enough. Just think about it, just those two things that we talked about this morning, the feeding of the 4,000, feeding of the 5,000, that Philip witnessed both of those. And here we have on another occasion, he's asking for something else. People in the first century witnessed miracle after miracle of Jesus with their own eyes and still rejected God and rejected Jesus. Many of those that took the life of Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees and those that tried to entrap Jesus and prosecute him unjustly, were ones that had seen. And when Jesus was performing miracles, one of their goals was to prevent other people from seeing the miracles, or to prevent the word of those miracles from getting out. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead, but rather than believe, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill Lazarus so people would not see that Lazarus had been raised from the dead. The point is that if people don't want to believe, that's their choice. But our decision to not believe is not because there's no evidence. We can choose not to believe the evidence. And if God reappeared right now, you think everybody would believe? Maybe some might, but there would be those who still would not want to believe. And then future generations that look back at 2018, the time that God appeared, they'd be in the same boat as many today. Well, he didn't appear to me. They wouldn't believe the evidence, although we would certainly write it down and record it with our phones. God showed himself, proved himself throughout history, and if we are faith challenged, it's not because God has not given us enough to have faith. It's because there's a challenge with our desire. There's a challenge with our want to. God has given us what it is that we need. And Jesus befriended those who wanted to see the Father. He befriended those who lacked faith. He gave them the evidence that they need to believe. And today, we have what it is that we need. And what we need to do is we need to do something with that evidence and have faith in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He can forgive us of our sins. And if we do that, that faith will save us, because it's an active saving faith. We can help you in any way to do that. We invite you to come while we stand and sing your invitations.
Put a song of delight in the city so bright, we'll be flapping in heaven's fair glow.